Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. What is it that makes life meaningful? What are the elements of life that bring the greatest happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment? That's the question that Solomon endeavored to answer, and then, having explored the various possible answers to that question to sort them out so that he could come to the proper conclusion, he wrote down both his explorations and his conclusions in the book of the Bible we call Ecclesiastes, which means the preacher. And Solomon became the preacher. Solomon became like a preacher who says, this is of no value, this is of lesser value, and here's what really matters. And you better pay attention to what Solomon said, because he's writing these things under the inspired guidance of the Spirit of the living God. It is God speaking to us. And he wrote these things through the pen of Solomon, and it was Solomon's life and Solomon's investigations that led to all of this, but God guided in all of that, and God guided in what was written down, so what is written down is true and is beneficial, and that's why it's included in our Bible. It is part of the Scripture that is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, because all Scripture is given for that purpose, including the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we don't want to skip over it. We don't want to ignore it. We don't want to refuse to do the hard work of understanding what it says, because it's part of God's inspired Word given for our benefit, our edification, and we're trying to dig into it so that we can get out of it what God put in it for our good. So that's where we are on this Friday, July 17. We're glad that you could be with us today as we could pursue this study, and we're thankful for those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to do this. Well, what is it that brings true meaning to life? That's the question. What is it? And Solomon said, pleasure and wealth don't really do it. That's chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. They bring a small measure of satisfaction, but no lasting value. And wisdom, surprisingly, really doesn't do it either. We're talking about human wisdom, human knowledge, human education. That doesn't do it either. It has an advantage over ignorance, but it really doesn't add as much to life as you might think it does. And its advantage is all canceled at the time of death. And then finally, the value of labor is the third thing that he explores in chapter 2. And he tells us that there's no lasting value in that. For the person who works hard, he works hard all of his life, and he accumulates these things, and then what does he do? He passes it on to someone who may not know how to handle it. That's often the case. It seems like the more successful that a person is in life, the more foolish are often his heirs who inherit it from him. Not true in every case, of course. There are examples of both those who pick up their parents' successes and improve upon them. Use them wisely. Use them for good. Use them for things that really, really benefit others. And we do see that. We do see examples of that, and we're thankful for that. But there's no guarantee that that's going to happen, and in far too many cases, we see the exact opposite. And that is Solomon's lament. Then verse 18, he says, I hated all of my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. That's the problem. That's the problem. You can't control these things once you're gone. Well, people try. They sometimes try to manage them and guard them and write their will in a certain way and put things in trust in a certain way and do the best they can many times to make sure that these things are going to be handled properly after they're gone. But once you're gone, you lose control over all of that. I'm sorry to tell you. You may think you've got everything ironclad legally, but I've seen it, and you've seen it, how many times those things just can be circumvented. Your heirs can hire a clever lawyer who can undo what your lawyer did, or someone who's not even your heir can find a way to get in and take it away from your legitimate heirs, and on and on and on it goes. And you really have no control over it on the day that you die. And therefore, Solomon's conclusion is that when it comes to labor, the effort outweighs the benefit. That's verse 20. Therefore, I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has a man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart for that which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. We keep hearing this word, vanity. Solomon started out at the beginning telling us, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He gave us, in one sense, part of his conclusion at the beginning. And then he lays it out and shows it to us step by step and piece by piece and element by element and category by category. And he keeps coming back and telling us over and over again, this too is vanity, this too is vanity, this too is vanity. It really doesn't have any lasting value. It's fleeting at best. It's fleeting at best. In some cases, it doesn't even have any value in time, but most things have some value for a short time, but it's fleeting. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And so the effort outweighs the benefit. Is there benefit in hard labor? Yes. It's not that there's no benefit, just like it's not that there's no satisfaction at all in wealth and pleasure. There is some, as the Bible says elsewhere, there is joy, there is pleasure. Pleasure is the word. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But the season always comes to an end, and in most cases, it is exceedingly short, much shorter than people expected it to be. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the season is mighty short. There's satisfaction in wisdom for a season, but the season is far too short. There's satisfaction in hard work, and particularly in financial success for a season, but the season is far too short. And the effort that it requires to be financially successful is a pretty high price. He talks about the pain and the grief and the loss of rest and sleep. He's talking about someone who really gave it 100%. Solomon evidently did. He gave 100% to what he set out to do, and that's why he was successful. That's why he built the biggest kingdom that any of the kings of Israel ever enjoyed. That's why he had the greatest wealth that any of the kings of Israel enjoyed. And in his day, apparently, he was the wealthiest king in the whole world and had the most impressive kingdom in the world. And people came from afar to examine it for themselves and to marvel at what had been accomplished. And this was not accomplished effortlessly. It was accomplished with hard work. Hard labor. It cost Solomon pain and grief and relaxation and rest. In fact, wasn't it Shakespeare who said something like, what did he say about the head that rules the kingdom? That it, I can't think of the exact phrase, some of you will know it, but he talks about how the king doesn't sleep very well at night because he's worried about who's coming after him to take it from him. And that's the truth. You can read the history of nations, and so many of the kings were betrayed by their own counselors, their own administrators because of covetousness. And so it's hard for him to even get a good night's sleep because he doesn't know who's conniving against him. He doesn't know but what somebody's going to come in the middle of the night and smother him with his pillow or stab him, murder him in his bed to wrest control of the kingdom from him, from someone else who wants to have all the things that he has and that he's labored for. Yes, lightly rests the head that rules the kingdom. And Solomon is describing that very sort of thing here, his own loss of sleep. He doesn't mention any occasions when his life was in danger, but it may have been. We don't know that. We don't know that it was. We don't know that it wasn't. But he certainly had more than his share of worries that kept him awake at night. And what he tells us is that the burdens of life oftentimes undermine the legitimate pleasures of work. Is it good to work? Yes. Is work God's plan for our lives? Yes, it is. The Bible tells us that we are to labor. That honors and pleases God. But if we think that by working hard and working harder than other people and accumulating more than other people, that that's the way to get satisfaction in life, we're wrong. We see that as a way to gain the approval of others. They will applaud our hard labor and the success that it brings. He did well for himself. You will hear things like that. He really did a good job. He really achieved. He really, really accumulated. He really built. But at what cost? And the burdens of life undermine the legitimate pleasures of work so that even labor turns out, hard work turns out not to be the thing that adds real happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment to life. People often think it is, but if it isn't balanced with spiritual wisdom, spiritual dimension, worshiping and serving God, then it becomes a burdensome toil that does not pay. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.